From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. As you know by now, the United States Supreme Court on Friday ended the constitutional right to an abortion across the United States. The decision overturned the precedent of Roe against Wade, which was the law of the land for 49 years, 5 months, and 2 days. The present case is called Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization, the last abortion provider in Mississippi. And in many states, the decision meant an immediate end to legal abortion, or at least it gave a green light to more conservative state legislatures to soon outlaw it. That, however, is not the case in Illinois, as State Representative Kelly Cassidy pointed out at a news conference shortly after the decision came down on Friday.
It can't be overstated. Abortion remains legal in Illinois. If you have an appointment, keep it. If you were thinking of making an appointment, make it. We are protecting choice in Illinois.
Reaction from across the political spectrum was swift and, on the Democratic side, severe. Governor J.B. Pritzker.
To the right-wing office holders who today are cheering the Supreme Court's ruling, get your iron boot off women's necks. Hop off your high horse and know that what you're calling a celebration of life today will actually lead to death. The death of women in abusive situations, the death of women whose health is at risk, the death of women and girls who will still seek abortions, ones that are unsafe and performed by unqualified back alley butchers.
But across the aisle, Republicans and their allies in the anti-abortion rights movement were indeed celebrating. Congressman Rodney Davis from Central Illinois was in Washington, D.C., outside the Supreme Court.
This is a victory for those of us who have proudly stood up to protect the unborn. I'm excited for the future. I'm excited for the future of the children that are going to be saved and be the next leaders in this institution behind me or in the Capitol that's in front of me. Well, this is a day, though, that unfortunately our home state of Illinois, we can't celebrate because the taxpayer funding of abortion in Illinois, the use of those dollars to kill the unborn is not going to change. So let this day be our day we begin to go elect more pro-life Republicans in the state of Illinois to change our home state.
The Illinois Republican Party, which has grown more incendiary in its rhetoric in recent years, issued a relatively restrained statement attributed to party chairman Don Tracy. He supported the decision and the Supreme Court majority who signed on to it, but acknowledged, quote, "Our country is deeply divided right now. And while I support this decision, I know this ruling will potentially make that division worse, at least in the short term." He then implored Illinoisans to express their opinions with respect. We are going to aim to have a respectful discussion of this deeply divisive topic on our show today. We do want to hear from you out there. 800-222-9455 is the number to join our conversation. That's 800-222-9455. We want to hear your reaction to the decision, what you think it means for Illinois and for our neighboring states. But a little later this hour, we're going to hear from two state representatives who have worked to preserve abortion rights and access in Illinois, as well as a historian who's written extensively on abortion in America before it became legal in the 1970s. But first, we're going to hear from a voice in the anti-abortion rights movement. Amy Gerke is Executive Director of Illinois Right to Life. Amy, welcome back to the program.
Thanks so much for having me.
So I want to begin just by asking you, where were you when you heard the Dobbs decision came down?
I was actually in my car driving into downtown Chicago. We thought that it was very possible the decision could come down on Friday. I was on the phone with a couple of my team members who had their eyes on SCOTUS blog, and they let me know that Roe had been overruled.
What was your initial reaction? Obviously, this was not entirely a surprise given the,
draft. We were cautiously optimistic, but I've been in the pro-life movement for 35 years now, about a million years. And it was just very surreal. This, was something that I did not think that we would see in our lifetime when I first started pro-life work back in the late 80s. And, Americans are waking up to the fact that the preborn child is fully human and deserving of protection, as well as the fact that abortion is not good for women, that women and their babies deserve better.
Yeah. So, yeah, you say not the fact that obviously that is a deeply divisive, idea, and people definitely have different ideas about that. Let me ask you about, you mentioned you've been in the movement, would you say since the 80s?
Yeah.
How has it changed as the movement has acquired power and finally reached this goal that, as you said, you felt would never happen in your lifetime?
Back in the late 80s, of course, there were 1.3 million abortions a year. And it just seemed like this was something that would always be around. And a lot of people thought pro-life work was futile. Of course, in the 90s, the mantra of the abortion industry was abortion should be safe, legal, and rare. But in the ensuing years, the abortion industry has become more and more radicalized. And that is no more evident than it is here in the state of Illinois, where the abortion industry has frankly made abortion, which is always deadly to preborn babies, very, very dangerous to women and young girls as well.
Let me ask you about what you think this means, because as we heard in the clips at the top of the show, Illinois is now viewed as a haven for women and other people seeking abortion care. What do you think this means? Where does your movement go in Illinois?
So there is, clearly a lot of work to be done in Illinois. We are very concerned that tens of thousands of women from out of state are going to be coming here, where coroners no longer investigate women's deaths at abortion clinics, where minor girls as young as 12 and 13 can get abortions without their parents even being notified, where abortion clinics are no longer under the umbrella of ambulatory surgical centers and are not subject to state health inspections. Our laws are really completely out of the mainstream and go against public opinion about abortion in so many ways. We've talked to people who identify as pro-choice who have told us that Illinois has gone too far, that, they don't support taxpayer funding of abortion, that they think parents do have a right to be involved in their minor daughter's healthcare decisions, that they do think that abortion clinics should face the same basic regulations as other healthcare facilities. So we are going to be working very, very hard to restore basic protections to women. Governor Pritzker says that he is a champion for women and wants our state to be a beacon of hope. But the laws that he signed show that he really has no respect for women. And, the actions of our state also show that many of our lawmakers can care more about doing the will of the abortion industry than they do the will of their constituents.
Well, we're going to
72% of Illinois voters opposed the repeal of parental notice of abortion, but that did not stop our legislature from voting to repeal it.
Of course, voters will have a chance to weigh in on that topic and many others at the general election this fall. And a little later on the program, I'm going to remind listeners, it's the 21st show. We're going to hear from a couple of state lawmakers who favor abortion access and abortion rights, as well as a historian of what it was like trying to obtain an abortion before it became legal in the United States. And I guess I should say in the previous time it was illegal across the United States, or there was no legal protection for it seen in the Constitution. We're speaking with Amy Gerke, who's executive director of Illinois Right to Life. And I also want to add Peter Breen to this conversation. He's vice president and senior counsel at the Thomas More Society, which is a public interest law firm rooted in the Roman Catholic faith. I think that's an accurate description. Peter, welcome back to the program to you as well.
Hey, thanks for having me, Brian.
So I just wanted to ask you, I began my first question to Amy, where were you when you heard the Dobbs decision came down? What was your reaction? Obviously, this wasn't entirely a surprise given the draft opinion we saw in May, but what this is obviously something you've worked for a long time. What was your reaction to the decision?
Well, I was very heartened by that. And, we had seen the draft, but at the same time, you had a similar situation in Planned Parenthood v. Casey, where there was a 5-4 initial vote to overturn Roe that was then reversed, and you had this weird split decision that resulted. And you could see you had rumors that Chief Justice Roberts was trying to rally justices to his concurrence, which we read at the end, which would have really continued the debate and kept the federal courts involved in abortion a lot longer. But now they're pretty much out of it, at least on the substantive right itself. Excited. And then, of course, we all had to get to work. No matter which side of the issue you were on, you were headed to press conferences and interviews and So you really, we really didn't get to reflect on, really the long-term view until maybe, the next day or two. And it was really, I will say this. I think this is a win for the American system, whichever side of the issue you're on, because it showed that when the court does something that the people are not in favor of, or that it jumps into an issue and does not really take account of a deep divide on both on two sides, that it really had no place there. And the American people, they gathered, they marched, they worked, and they then achieved the ultimate end, which was to get the court back out of this, return the issue to the state legislatures. And so in that way, the Catholic bishops, the U.S. Catholic bishops had actually put in their statement, they said, now the pro-life movement takes its place in the pantheon of great social movements. And so that is something that even if you're on the pro-choice side, I mean, that there is something, it was very historic here that this is one of those issues. And so that was something for me that was a telling, or at least that struck me. Right.
This is obviously there are rights, enforced by the court or granted by or recognized by the court, maybe that go beyond majority will. Let me ask you, because Peter, Justice Clarence Thomas wrote a concurring opinion basically inviting challenges to other court decisions that are rooted in some of the same ideas struck down in this case in Dobbs, such as same-sex marriage and access to contraceptives. What do you think of that? Is that the next frontier?
Well, Justice Thomas has some unique ideas, and he's been on that since he joined the court back in 92. And one justice can write whatever they want, and everybody has their view on things. I think for those that are trying to sound the alarm based on that, nobody else joined it. And so, and even Justice Thomas himself fully joined the majority opinion and acknowledged that the controlling decision doesn't touch any of those cases. And so it's a bit of a sideshow. Really the story here is the majority decision. When the court says abortion's different because there are two lives involved, I mean, that everybody can understand that. That's something you can look at and go, yeah, abortion's different. And there we are. The idea that somehow, they're coming for gay marriage next, or they want to go for this or that. I mean, I remember when the draft decision leaked, and people were saying, see, they're going to come after interracial marriage next. And I'm sitting there going, Justice Thomas is going to go after interracial marriage. I mean, it's just absurd, this idea that, truly he's, they're going to reverse all of that. And even he in his decision was saying, well, these rights may be under the Privileges and Immunities Clause. I mean, it's kind of a law professor argument at this point.
Sure.
And so,
I mean, to be fair, I think it was a Republican U.S. senator who mentioned the Loving decision or interracial marriage is something that may come up. We only have a few minutes left before we need to take a break. Peter, I know you've been involved with some of the legal challenges to Illinois' recent abortion laws in the past few years. Is there anything still pending? Is there stuff on the horizon that you're looking to do in that regard?
Well, right now, the things you've got pending are really, it's the sort of thing that for us, we now shift to a blue state strategy versus a red state strategy. In the blue states, most of your fights are going to be on the First Amendment, which is where we've been historically in all the states, defending the rights of people of faith, of pro-life pregnancy centers and others to do their work without interference by the state government. So the work of advocacy, the work of assisting women, that work needs to continue. In particular, there is a case right now. There's an injunction against a law that was passed many, many years ago. I was in the legislature at the time, SB 1564, which was forcing Catholic and other Christian institutions to make referrals to abortion clinics. That law has been enjoined. We fully expect it to be struck down, at least to that extent, at the end of the day. But so that's the work really here. It's more defending the rights of folks to dissent, essentially, to this and to do their, to do the advocacy work. That's the blue state strategy. Red state strategy, of course, is to ensure that the maximum number of lives are protected. And we're going to have really interesting issues of, can Missouri and Iowa and Kentucky and Indiana and Wisconsin, can they protect their unborn residents from being brought here to Illinois to be terminated? So that's going to be a very interesting question and one that we're going to be working on for the next few years, at least.
Amy, final thought, and only about 30 seconds to you. There are obviously millions of women across the country who are very upset about this decision. Many of them were out marching last Friday night and over the weekend. What do you say to them briefly before we need to end our conversation?
I say to them, it's just very sad that there are so many women who are so afraid. And that speaks to the fear that the abortion industry has instilled in the women of our country. I would say that there are so many resources out there to help you choose life, to make life-affirming decisions, both for themselves and for their preborn children, that there is nothing to fear, that there is help out there, and there are better solutions for women and their babies. Women deserve better than abortion.
Amy Gerke and Peter Breen, thank you so much for being with us and sharing your perspectives today on the 21st Show.
Thanks so much.
Coming up after a short break, we're going to be hearing from two state legislators as well as a historian on the other side of this issue. This is the 21st Show. We also want to hear from you, 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. More to come after a short break. Stay with us.